All right, now back in making his 10th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, his former Jets and Dolphins defensive back and a member of our guest Hall of Fame, Kerry Glenn. You know, Kerry's been a great guest and a great friend over the years and joined us way back on April of 2013. So been a part of the TNT family now for about 5.5 years. And we love him because, A, he always brings a big smile to our face and you can hear it in his voice. And none of our guests has any better style than Kerry does. And if you're not following him on Facebook, and you should be, because the man definitely knows how to dress. He's from East St. Louis, Illinois, played his college ball at the University of Minnesota, 10th round draft pick by the Jets in 1985, and he played defensive back in the league from 85 to 92 for the Jets and the Dolphins, was selected to the 1990 Pro Bowl for his special teams play after leading the Dolphins in special teams tackles. Over the course of his career, he had 7 interceptions, 2 of which he returned for touchdowns and a couple of sacks. And we're honored he's back with us again tonight here on TNT. Hey, Kerry, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Kerry Glenn.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
How have you been, my friend? You're always up to something unbelievable, whether you're on a cruise or traveling somewhere. You are absolutely a busy man.
Well, you know, I got to take the lady, you know, I had to take the little lady to Vegas in September, so for her birthday. So I went to Vegas, and, you know, if you ever go to Vegas, oh, Cromwell, you have to stay there. Oh, my gosh, that's one of the best hotels. It got a rooftop, a pool, and it is absolutely awesome.
Always good to be Kerry Glenn. Kerry, I want to get your thoughts on both of your former teams. They actually play each other this week. From your perspective, either, neither, or both going in the right direction from what you've seen so far this season?
Neither. Neither one of them are going in the right direction. I mean, you know, the Dolphins, I mean, the one thing about this league is that you got to have great backup, and your players can get through a season without having, you know, any, you know, serious injuries. You know, both of them, you know, the Jets, they just have to, I mean, they have to, you know, a young quarterback, and, you know, you got to throw them in the fire. You got to throw them in the fire if that's going to be your future. You're going to have that season or two where you're going to have those bumps and things like that. So that's one of the things with them. And plus with the Dolphins had some serious injuries. So that's another thing too with them, with their injuries. And Tannehill is going to be out again. He's going to be out again this week. So, you know, I tell you, we have a good backup that can get in there and play in. And basically, you know, what we're looking at here, you're looking at a quarterback. You have one quarterback that's making, what is it, like $700,000. Then you have another one that's going to be making like $20,000. I'm telling you right now, you're looking at, with Tannehill, I don't know if you're going to be there next year.
So that's the question, Kerry, right? That's the next thing I wanted to get your thoughts, because it seems like the Dolphins' greatest need is still a franchise quarterback. That Tannehill is just not going to be that guy. And, you know, I would assume they don't feel like Brock Osweiler is going to be that guy. So it seems like that's the direction the Dolphins need to go for next season. Is that what I'm getting from you as well? You think that that's the direction? They got to go get themselves a franchise quarterback?
Well, that's going to be hard to do. And I tell you the reason why it's going to be hard to do. There's only a few guys that could come into Miami and play, and the Dolphins would say, wow. I mean, you know, the fans would go, wow, I like that guy. And the Dolphins had a chance to get him years ago. They blew it. And you know who that is, right? Drew Brees. Dolphins had a chance to get Drew Brees. And I'm sitting here going,
right?
Drew Brees, oh yeah. Cause when Drew Brees, when he got hurt, he was with San Diego and he got hurt. And then San Diego, they didn't want him anymore. So, and the Dolphins had a chance to get him. Okay. The Dolphins didn't get him. They got Culpepper from the Vikings. I mean, he was good, but he's no Drew Brees. That's just the bottom line to it. And now that's the only person that could come in there. I mean, Tannehill is, he's a guy, he can be consistent. I mean, he'll give you a 4,000 yard season. He'll give you that. But still, I mean, it's not a Dan Marino. I mean, the people here, they need someone. I mean, they want someone like Drew Brees. If Drew Brees was here and doing what he's doing right now, I mean, you know, you're not going to hear Dan Marino name. You know, you just won't do that. But see, the point is that there's nobody's doing it. I mean, they can't get a quarterback to do it. This is what I think. He's making what, 707,000. I think they're going to try to get rid of Tannehill. Because Oswald, he's 700,000. You get 700,000, then you're looking at 20 million. Personally, if I was a GM, that's what I'm looking at. Okay. Well, Oswald, he looked pretty comfortable in this situation. Okay. What we can do, we can give him a little bit more money. Or if he had signed like a 3-year deal or a 2-year deal, let him play it out. And let him prove himself. Let him play it out. That'll save you money. Then you can take that and you can get something else. I mean, they got some receivers. The Dolphins have some receivers. But one thing I don't like about this season is that it's all offense, no special teams. And it seems though they're trying to take special teams and trying to phase it out. To me.
Right. I agree. Kerry, when you played in the mid-80s to the early 90s, the Dolphins-Jets rivalry was probably the most heated rivalry in the division. And you got an opportunity to play on both sides and were a part of some pretty epic games at that time. It always seemed like Kenny O'Brien saved his best games, for the Dolphins and that matchup against Dan Marino and Danny had some really good games against the Jets, and there were some epic battles between the two. What was it like being on both sides of that rivalry?
It was great. I mean, personally, I like playing against, I like playing against great players, and Duper. When I was with the Jets, and then I'm playing against Duper and Clayton, we had fun. I mean, we had fun. I mean, Duper and I, we do this some crazy stuff, pulling jerseys and stuff like that. When he pull, I'm like, I'm a hold him because he's not gonna throw a touchdown. He's not gonna throw a touchdown. I'm gonna hold him. He pulled my jersey. so he did things like that. And we was out there. I mean, you may see us like talking, but it wasn't or you may seem like we going at it, but we were going at it, but we weren't like going at each other. You know what I mean? It was more of a fun thing. I remember my rookie year. Is that we're playing in Miami and I'm on, they got me playing right corner, and then it's like at the end of the game. I mean, the game was going fine. My Dolphins got the ball on the 30 yard line going in. I look up at Dan checked the play. He checked the play for Clayton to run a go route. So he checked the play. I backed up. I was in press coverage, so I backed up. And after that, he checked it back to the other side. In the meantime, I'm a rookie, but I'm telling the other corner, I'm like, Bobby Jackson, I'm like, get back. He's ready to go. And I'm like that. I'm doing that. Dan snapped the ball, boom. Threw it for Duper Duper ran the goal route. Threw a touchdown, game over. And then we watching film and Bud Carson was like, look at you. The rookie is telling you what to do now. He's telling you to get your butt back and you still up in a press position. Did you know what they was doing? Bob was like, yeah, I just want to bump him. He said, well, hell, you didn't even bump him. It was funny. But no, we had some good rivals. I mean, I loved it.
Five questions for Kerry.
Great to have you back, Kerry. We had the honor of talking to Burgess Owens last week. I know you knew him well back in his days when he played at Shea Stadium. And I mentioned to him, Kerry, about those conditions at Shea. And people, I guess, throughout the country didn't realize how swirly the winds were there. And you playing at the Meadowlands, I wanted to get your opinion on that because that wasn't much difference, Kerry. There was a lot of, I went down to a lot of games during the 80s. The winds could change at the drop of a hat. It wasn't the most ideal place to play as far as for defensive backs and everything, but I guess it was the same for everybody. But your memories of playing in that weather anyway.
Oh, it was nice. And you're right. I mean, in the Meadowlands, the wind could be going one way. And then next thing you know, it's blowing another way. It was always like that in the Meadowlands. And Pat Leahy was our kicker, and Pat would come out there. He would practice, and then he'd come out the first half. Because I mean, there's times in which he was kicking in conditions that was really really bad, and he would sit. He'd come out. He'd come out the first half and he'd kick and he'd warm up, and then he'd come out the second half, he got to warm up, and then he'd try to go on both ends. Because it was the conditions there in the Meadowlands wasn't good. but the deal is that Pat Leahy, he knew exactly what to do, and that's why he was a good kicker. Without his leg, a lot of those games, we would have lost a lot of those games.
Kerry, I want to ask you about the fundamentals of the modern-day defensive back. I think on a weekly basis, any of us who watch a lot of football, they see a lot of missed tackles. And it's not because these guys can't make tackles. It's because they try to hit guys instead of make tackles. Kerry, you know what I'm talking about. You just see so much of it. It must make you cringe a little bit because I think you guys are a little bit more fundamentally sound than these newer guys. I think that's just part of the game.
So I'm going to tell you something right now. Honestly, I look at these guys play, the first thing that comes to mind, when you're in a bump and run position, it's called bump and run. It's not called open up the floodgate. I just brought something to your attention. Now you watch. You can even watch the game tonight, or you can watch it this, or watch what the games this weekend. You watch what those guys do. They up in a bump around position. They just open up. They open up and see now when you go there, now you only have one way. You have one way with a bump. When you bump and run it and you stand square on the person, you stand square on him, and plus you're slowing him down. Now you got a two way, to go. And not only that, I see guys, even when they're playing off, they take two steps and then they turn to the left or they turn to the right. They can't even stand there backpedal. For 5 yards, past 3 yards. that's the reason why they get beat on those end routes, or they're late on the end routes. And the reason why is because what they're doing, they're coming out of their back pedal too quick. You got to stand that back pedal as long as you can, and then you can drive to the left or either drive to the right. I see none of that. I see, like you said, the fundamentals of the game is absolutely gone. So that's why you see all these guys getting beat on all these crossing routes, or either beat deep, because what they're doing is that they don't have the fundamental skills to do it. And I don't know what the coaches are teaching them, but when I look at the game, you rarely would see a defensive back go up there, bump the guy, then run with him, and that's it. And then some of these guys, when they're like man under, they don't even know how to play man under. when you're playing man under, you can't get beat on the inside route. You can't get beat on the outside route. that's the way it is now. So, yeah.
It's fascinating.
Okay. Harry, Bob and I have been saying, sticking with sort of the idea about defensive backs, we've been saying for a couple of years that defensive back in the NFL has got to be the hardest position to play on the field now. I mean, you can't touch anybody. You can't hit anyone hard coming across the middle. You have to make a split-second decision on tackles because when a wide receiver is jumping up to catch a ball and now coming down, he lowers his head to brace for impact while a defensive back might be trying to hit with a shoulder, but then you get the helmet to helmet. And it's just trying to play defensive back has got to be the biggest challenge in the NFL. Curious to get your thoughts when you're coaching young kids or talking to young kids who are trying to play defensive back, what you try to tell them.
Well, I always led with my shoulder. Well, let me take that back. 90% of the time, 90% of the time, I had a little something, I had a little something that I did when I went down the field, but the one thing about it is that these guys, I don't know. I mean, you just gotta teach them. You gotta teach them the basic fundamentals. Just go with your shoulder. But one thing I don't like what they're doing too is that, you have players that, they go in and they try to do the tackle, make a tackle, and they lead with the shoulder. And then all of a sudden, the offensive player drops his head, and then it becomes helmet to helmet. But the one thing that I don't like what the NFL is doing is that you're talking about a fraction of a second. I broke my leg in a fraction of a second. Now, I wouldn't have liked to have my leg broken. I definitely didn't want my leg broken. But the point is that, I was fan of Detroit. I hit the punt returner. And as soon as I hit him, I drove my foot in the ground. And as soon as I drove my foot in the ground, Jamie Brown came to hit the guy sideways and twisted his body around. So my body went around and my foot was stuck in the turf. And it just snapped my bone in my leg, my tibia. Mm. But see, that's what I'm saying. So we're talking about a fraction. We're talking about a fraction of a second. Now, see, that's what it, and that's what I don't like about the NFL is that, you can't tell a player to move his head up or down especially when the offensive player is being aggressive and he lowering his head as well. So you're talking about a fraction of a second, which that player cannot change that. Because trust me, if I could have changed it, I never would have had a broken leg. So, mm-hmm. You get my point? So that's what the NFL is trying, is want these guys to do, is to change, some of these players, they are leading in with their head. But I've seen some calls that the referees have made that, Verdell, you never played football. You don't know about a fraction of a second. I mean, I broke my leg in a fraction of a second. And guess what? If J.B. Brown wouldn't have been there, I never would have broke my leg. And it happened just like that. It happened so quick. There's nothing I could do about it. And that's the same thing. That's the same thing when you're making a tackle. You cannot make a tackle. If a player is dropping his head, you cannot tell the defensive player, okay, well, he dropped his head more. Now you got to either bring your head up or bring your head down. Can't do that. It's totally impossible for a player to do that. And that's why when I look at the game, I say, I just think the players should tackle. And a lot of these guys too, just a basic tackle. Go in and wrap up. If you go in, you wrap up, you'll be perfectly fine. You're not going to, and play your game. Like if I was playing the game today, I would still do what I would still do what I was taught to do. Go in, wrap up, that's it. If I, you know, I mean, there's been times I've wrapped up and I went face mask with somebody. But the point is that if something like that happened, how do I can't, you know, try to change my head position. I hit him here. I can't do that. What I would do, I'll just continue to play the way I am. And, you know, hopefully I wouldn't get fined. You know, but I wouldn't be trying to hurt anyone. The whole part of the game is just you go in, you get a good lick on someone, you hit them, you know, help them up. There you go.
Terry, before we let you go, remind our listeners about how they can stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Oh. Well, right now, I'm part of the Avengers. This is what happened. I didn't plan on everybody knowing who I'm really am. So, but somehow, you know, found out if you go on my page, you'll see, yes, I am Spider-Man. And my grandson, and my grandson, yes, he is. Yeah, but my grandson is Captain America.
It just
recently came out, and you know, I didn't want people to know, you know, who I was, and but yeah, it's not Peter Parker. It is. It's Cary Glenn. I am the real Spider-Man.
That's great. Cary, you're fantastic, my friend. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Always great having you back as part of the show.
All right, guys. Call me anytime, man. But like I said, one thing I just like to let your viewers know is that these two guys are the best. And I like, you know, getting on your show and you know, have a little fun with you guys, man. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure, man. So, hey, anything you need, just give me a ring.
We appreciate you, Cary. You're the best, my friend. Thank you so much for your time tonight. We'll catch up soon.
Okay. All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Good night, man.
See you, Cary.
Bye.
That is former Jets and Dolphins defensive back, Cary Glenn. Always a character. Always a lot of fun, Bob.
Doesn't seem like he's ever stressed out, does it?
No.
Yeah, he has a lot of fun. Nah, that's Cary in a nutshell, though. But a true student of the game, Chris, he makes some remarkable points about the fundamentals and about the modern game, and that's why we continue to have him on.
We've got our next guest, Nick Athen, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Nick on the other side of this quick station break.